than sacrifice. It is better to obey, Lord God, than to always have our way. Lord God, let us obey. Let us obey you. Let us obey those who you have called to lead, Lord God. Let us obey, Holy God. Teach us how to listen. Teach us, Lord God, the things you want us to know, Holy God. As we come before you this day, we ask you, God, to be among us, to continue to heal our land, Lord God, to continue to have mercy upon us. God, we know that there are many who have been disobedient in their different states where they live. And now the numbers of infected folks are increasing. God, we pray for them. Have mercy, God, upon our nation. Have mercy upon those who lead. God, as we come together each week and we stretch out our hands to you, Lord, as the songwriter says, Father, I stretch my hand to you. For no other help we know. If thou withdraw thyself from us, whither shall we go? And so, Lord God, we stretch our hands to you this day. We ask you now to speak. Speak a word for us. Speak a word of hope. Speak a word of love. Speak, Lord God, for your children are listening. We are listening, Lord God, to hear from you first and foremost. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on the submission to your will. Let me be an obedient preacher, Lord God, to your word and to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. And this is a good day. It's a good day because every day we live and move and breathe is a good day. Isn't it a good day? Praises be to God. And friends, I am now going to think through this wonderful words of the Lord with you. And my sermon title today is The Promise of an Advocate. The Promise of an Advocate. We who follow the liturgical life of the church, we know that Pentecost is coming, right? It's coming soon. But today we're going to talk about the promise of the advocate. Chuck Swindoll on the power of the Holy Spirit writes, by the time I graduated from seminary, I had many convictions and few questions, especially regarding the Holy Spirit. But during a lifetime of ministry that has taken me around the United States and to many countries abroad, I have found that the work of the Holy Spirit continually keeps me off balance. I am not alone in that, he says. Those in church leadership seem afraid the Spirit is going to do something we can't explain. I have found that disturbs many folks, but I'll admit it energizes me, says Swindle. I have come to realize there are dimensions of the Spirit's ministry. I've never tapped and places in this study about which I know very little of. I am on a strong learning curve to learn about the Holy Spirit. I have witnessed a dynamic power in his presence that I long to know more of firsthand. I now have questions and a strong interest in many of the things of the Spirit I once felt were settled. To say it plainly, I am hungry for more of him, more of the Holy Spirit. I long to know God more deeply and more intimately, the writer says. And then there's another short reflection that said, the Holy Spirit missing. In many Christian circles, the Holy Spirit is either neglected, forgotten, or misunderstood, says the writer. The one given to unite the body of Christ is the center of controversy. This is a nettle which ought to be firmly grasped. So often Christian work is so rigidly programmed that it seems we need no longer depend on him. Yet Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. How true that is. Sometimes our worship can be so programmed. We have to say everything. We have to tell people when to turn a page. People when to find something. We believe that we are it and not the Holy Spirit. We believe if we don't get up and say something, folks won't get it. We leave no room for the Holy Spirit. The late Dr. A.W. Tozer, author and pastor, said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on, and no one would know the difference. 95% would just go on, and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference. So the writer is saying, without the Holy Spirit, the New Testament church would not have happened. We would never have church now without the Holy Spirit. But we have programmed the Holy Spirit so much, we have programmed it into our bulletins, we have programmed it anywhere, so if we don't follow exactly what is written in the bulletin as it used to be, we think we are in control, and guess what happens? There's no move of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just passed us over because we do not believe that the Holy Spirit is working in everybody else. That it's just working in me. And it's not working in anybody else. The devil is a liar, you see. The Holy Spirit is in all of us. It's all of Jesus' children talking to us. John 14, 15 to 21 talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Right? He says, if you love me, you will keep my commands, Jesus says. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is a spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. The only way you're going to know him because he abides in you. And then Jesus says something amazing. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I am in you. So Jesus said, I will send you another advocate. If the Holy Spirit is another advocate, then what does that mean? There had to have been a first advocate. There had to have been a first advocate, right? And that advocate was Jesus. That advocate was the one who would take care of us. What is the definition of an advocate? For those who don't know, it's like a lawyer, an honest lawyer, I would say. But an advocate is one who pleads the cause of another. The advocate is one who pleads the cause of another. Number two, an advocate is one who defends or maintains a cause or proposal. Number three, an advocate is one who supports or promises the interests and cause of a group or an individual. So the advocate is the one who is what? Taking care of another when they cannot do it by themselves. And Jesus was the first advocate. That's why he says, I'm sending you another advocate. Because he was leaving his disciples in physical form. Jesus was leaving the earth in physical form, and he was going to leave them another advocate, and that other advocate would what? Would have a different relationship with us. That advocate would not walk the earth. That advocate would not see. That advocate would not be crucified for us. That advocate would not be nailed to a cross. That advocate would live inside of us. Friends, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of each believer. Because Jesus said it. Can't believe some of Jesus' word and just don't. That means we all have the Holy Spirit living in us, and it's up to us to set the Holy Spirit loose. Sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we make folk quench it for us. They program us so we become robots. We have to be very careful that worship does not become robotic. You put one foot before and you put one foot after, and Lord knows if you don't remember the other foot, you're going to fall down. That the Holy Spirit is in you and it's in me. And it's in all of us here. And it's in all of you. So let's look at the work of the advocate. Right? The one who has come. The first point one is the Holy Spirit is a helper who teaches and reminds. Point one. The Holy Spirit as advocate teaches us and reminds us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Point one, the Holy Spirit provides wise counsel to Christ's followers. Jesus knew he would be going away and that his followers would need the Holy Spirit as an helper and an advocate to remind them of his teachings. So we see the Holy Spirit as teacher. Number two, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts. It tells us in our heart when we're doing something wrong. Have you ever wanted to do something wrong? I mean, I speak of myself. When I'm getting a little bit wild, if I'm driving out there and, you know, things are happening and I start want to get in an argument with somebody and, you know, and just, what are you doing? You know what somebody told me, that they were at the, and this is a Christian, they were at the supermarket and this woman was so close to them. And even though they should stay 6 feet apart, and she had on her mask, and she had, but the woman was so close to her, talking on the phone, and she's a Christian believer. She says, I want to turn around and slap her. But she says, the Holy Spirit told her not to. I says, I'm glad you listened to the Holy Spirit, because you would be in prison. Right? The Holy Spirit said to her, don't do that. But she said, every time she moved up, the woman moved closer and closer behind her. She could hear every word she was saying because she was on the phone and she was not watching. But the Holy Spirit, and that's making it lightly. Right? There's a lot of sin going on in the world, and the Holy Spirit will convict us. We know when we do something outside of the will of God in our heart, there's something that say, that ain't right, you know. That is not right. That is disobedient. That is not right. You're disobeying God. Number three, the Holy Spirit dwells in believers and fills them. It dwells in us and fills us. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in the lives of believers. It says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? That is in 1 Corinthians 3, 1-6. Do you not know that God's Spirit dwells in you and me? Because Jesus said he's leaving the advocate. Number four, the Holy Spirit is a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to us. Right? Will reveal things, we'll know things. It is called a gift of discernment. That you'll have, you just know something is wrong or know something is going to happen. You just know it because the Holy Spirit is a source of revelation. God gives his followers the Holy Spirit so that they may know him better. Since the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, it knows the thoughts of God and reveals those thoughts to his believer. We should want the Holy Spirit, shouldn't we? Number five, the Holy Spirit guides to all truth, including knowledge of what is to come. The Holy Spirit what? Guides to all truth. Because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. It will know what is true. You know when someone is jiving you. Do you all know the word jiving? Right, folks online? You know when someone is jiving you. Right? The young people, in mother vernacular, they got another thing for it, but we can't say that in the church. They're jiving you. You know when somebody's jiving you, they're just pretending and saying things and pretending. And in your spirit, you know God says, they're just jiving you. God doesn't say that. I don't think that's God's vernacular, but they're just jiving you. The Holy Spirit gives you that inner spirit, Paul calls it. And then number six, the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to believers. Believers are gifted to the Holy Spirit. Nancy can play the piano. Yes, you went to learn to play the piano, but it's the Spirit of God in you that gave you that talent that was developed, for example. Right? It's the Spirit of God that gave you that talent that then was developed to be a musician. Or whatever we are, it's the Spirit of God that empowers us, that's in us, that gives us that spiritual gift to use music to praise Him. Or to use the gifts to preach, or to use whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do these things. Praise God. Because Paul will say it. It says, he gives attributes of the Holy Spirit such as wisdom, knowledge, and power are manifested in the lives of every believer. Number seven, the Holy Spirit is a seal on the lives of believers. Huh? Jesus is going to say it somewhere. It's a seal when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, there is a seal on us as one of God's children. The Holy Spirit seals us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. It's a seal, it's a legal signature, as they would say. It's a kind of ownership that we belong to Christ. We belong to Christ. Amen? Amen. We belong to Him. The Holy Spirit now, this is key for the times we live in. Number eight, the Holy Spirit helps in a Christian weakness and intercedes for them. Friends, this is so powerful, this one piece. All of it is. There are many Christians who have been going through difficult times now. Many believers who have lost loved ones. Many believers who have in hospitals now. Many believers who have had COVID-19 or any kind of sickness. I'm using COVID-19 as a for example because it is so common. But I truly believe that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when they get sick and they cannot pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for them. That is a good lawyer, the best you could think of. You know, when you cannot stand before a judge and lay out your case, because you don't have the knowledge or the wisdom, you can't know where all the materials are, you just don't have it. You can't figure it out, you're not taught that way. You got to get your lawyer to speak on your behalf. The Holy Spirit of God will what? Advocate for you. And who is He advocating for you to? Heaven. Jesus would love us so much that it would lead the Spirit to live in us that we don't even have to speak it. The Spirit knows our every groanings, Romans says. The Spirit knows, Paul says, and he says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit in Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That's Romans 8:26-27. The Holy Spirit intercedes. Thanks be to God. I always think about elderly folks, or even young people, but I normally think about elderly folks when they're going home to be with the Lord. And if you go to the hospital or somewhere, you're there with them, and they cannot speak. And you know they have been believers. And you could see sometimes there's a peace on their face. There's that they're transitioning to go, just to go over. And I just believe it's the Holy Spirit is there. One of my colleagues told me the other day, a woman was 100 years old in her church, 101. And she had told her the day before, 2 days before, that she was ready to go home to be with the Lord. Amen. She had just accepted it. She was ready. She had been 101 years old. And she says, I am ready. ready to go see Jesus. And when Reverend Mance put it on Facebook, she said, and she next day, she was ushered into heaven at 101. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. When my mother, who yesterday would have been the anniversary of her death, May 16th, and she was 85 years old, and she was ready because she was sick. She knew she was sick. And she says, I'm ready to go see Jesus. I've waited all my life to go see him. I'm ready. That's why I don't weep like people weep, because my mother is gone. I weep at that moment, but I don't weep anymore, because she went home to be with Jesus, and she was ready. She was ready. She says, I'm just ready to go see Jesus. And on her dying bed, she was there, and those who were there, she says, Lord Jesus, I've been spending my whole life waiting to see you. Next day, she was gone to meet him. You see it in many families. Ready to meet Jesus. The Holy Spirit. It's not because of power or by might why we do this, because if it's by our very flesh, we would be bawling and screaming. Right? It is by the Spirit of the Lord that lives in us. The Holy Spirit intercedes. And the Holy Spirit is interceding for people right now. This moment, in some hospital, some nursing home, somewhere, wherever the Holy Spirit is needed, the Holy Spirit is interceding in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said that. Number 9, the Holy Spirit makes believers new and gives them eternal life. The Holy Spirit is the one that encourages us to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And gives us a hope of eternal life. It is the Spirit of God that lives in us. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit works in the lives of the believer to renew, sanctify, and to make us holy. The Holy Spirit makes us holy. Do not try to quench the Holy Spirit in other people. Do not program them till they are so dependent on the program that they let go of the Holy Spirit. Let them be free. Free to get to know God. Free to get to know His Word. So the Holy Spirit could live in them. And number 10, my last point. The Holy Spirit sanctifies and enables believers to bear fruit in their lives. Friends, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us and encourages us to bear fruit. And that means that every believer should bear fruit. We should bear fruit that will last. We should begin to be able to read the Bible and know the Bible. We should be able to pray for ourselves and pray. We should know fruit because we should bear fruit, because when we die and stand before God, nobody else is going to stand there with us. No pastor, no minister, nobody's going to, but you or me. We are responsible for our own growth in Christ. We are responsible for knowing the Bible ourselves. We are responsible for praying ourselves. We are responsible for building a relationship with Jesus Christ for ourselves. And God is probably pushing the mainline churches and many of us who have been so programmed into one step before the next step. If I put this step, I put this step. If I don't put this step, maybe God is just shaking up things, so every now and then we got to go like this. He's just scrambling it. So we all can get involved and figure it out in the name of Jesus. And so we give God thanks and praise because the Spirit of God lives in all of us. Amen. All of us. Every one of us is empowered by the Spirit if we let God. And so Paul tell the Athenians, he spoke to them, Paul stood and he spoke to the Athenians and he says, for listen, the God who made the world and everything in it, He who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in the shrines made of human hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mortals life, breath, and all things. He was telling them, God doesn't live in shrines. God lives in our hearts. That's what Paul was saying. God lives in our hearts. Not in the shrine. We come to the sanctuary to worship, But God doesn't live here. He's not enthroned here. He's enthroned here. That's why we could pray to him at home. That's why you could be watching TV, watching us now and praying to God. I hope and pray, my brothers and sisters out there, you haven't stopped praying and talking to God because you're not at Hicksville United Methodist Church. I hope you've not done that, because God is not enshrined here. As beautiful as this place is, heaven, it can't come close to heaven. And God is not enshrined here. God is enshrined in our hearts. And we give him thanks for the beautiful place he has given us to worship. And so as I close, friends, remember Paul says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." As even some of your poets have said, in him, in Jesus Christ and by his Holy Spirit, the great advocate, we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. We bless his name. And so this little song that we sing that says, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Do you remember it? We just sang it Easter. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. When we sing it, let us believe it. He lives within our souls and our heart. We're in the season of Easter. Pentecost is 2 weeks ago. Next week is Ascension Sunday. Oh, he lives within our heart. You could worship him wherever you are. Wherever you are, you could worship him. And you could call on his name wherever you are, and he'll answer. Because he lives within your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.